It's my fault. I'm the one who first brought up the idea, who championed it, who set the ball rolling, and who ultimately insisted on hiring her. My father was adamantly opposed to the idea. My mother, ambivalent at best. My sister, as indifferent as always. Only my husband, Harrison, thought it was a good idea, and only because he hoped it would take some of the strain off me. "You do too much," he was always saying, followed by, "There are things you can control and things you can't. You can't be all things to all people. Concentrate on our family. Let the rest go." He was right, of course, except it wasn't that easy to just let the rest go. And try as I might, I couldn't help hearing the unstated corollary. "If only you'd put half the effort and energy into our house, our children, our marriage, as you do into your parents, your sister, your career." Forget that it was precisely that career that not only covered our mortgage, but paid all the bills, thus allowing him the luxury of working full-time and without any noticeable remuneration on his latest novel. I say latest, although it's been almost a decade since his first novel was published. To great acclaim, I might add, but still. If I sold only one house every 10 years, I think I might be tempted to try my hand at something else. To this, Harrison would undoubtedly point out that writing is more a calling than a career, rather like the priesthood, and nothing at all like selling real estate in an overheated, overpriced market. This would likely be followed by, "It's not easy to create anything of value with two young children underfoot." This last argument might hold more merit were it not for the fact that our son, Samuel, who is 8, is in school most of the day, and our daughter, Daphne, age 3, is in daycare. True, Harrison is sometimes tasked with putting them to bed when I have an evening showing, or entertaining them when I have weekend appointments. Selling real estate isn't exactly a 9-to-5 profession. Rather like writing, I'm tempted to say. But of course I don't, because it would likely lead to a confrontation, and I hate confrontations. "The male ego is a fragile thing," my mother once told me. And she would know. She was married to my father, never the easiest of men, for almost 50 years. Not that my mother was any shrinking violet. She gave as good as she got, and their loud fights were legendary in their upscale neighborhood of Rosedale. Some of my earliest memories consist of lying in bed with my hands pressed tightly against my ears in a vain effort to block out the angry accusations and furious denials flying up the stairs, threatening to burst through the door to the room I shared with my sister, who lay sleeping in the twin bed next to mine, as oblivious as always. Even now, when I can't sleep, I hear their raised voices piercing the stillness of the night to shout in my ear. A therapist would no doubt explain that this would account for my aversion to confrontations, and the therapist would probably be right. If only the rest of what happened were so easy to explain. Of course, my mother's voice had all but disappeared in recent years, lost to the unrelenting ravages of Parkinson's disease. In response, my father, having lost his favorite sparring partner, had little choice but to mellow accordingly. Oh, he could still be difficult. The male ego is a fragile thing, after all. But he could also be solicitous and even tender on occasion. 8 years ago, he resigned his position as head of the real estate company he founded. Yes, the same company for which I work, to devote himself full-time to my mother's care. A noble idea, to be sure. But the man was in his late 70s, and while he remained healthy and enviably spry, not to mention still rakishly handsome, he was no longer a young man. And caring for a woman with advanced Parkinson's is no easy chore at any age. Which is why I suggested hiring a live-in housekeeper. An idea that was promptly and soundly rejected.
"We're quite capable of managing on our own, thank you very much,"
he bellowed.